4 verse 1. When therefore, I'm sorry, and I turn to John, wouldn't you know it? Let me turn to 1 John. This is a different John. Okay, John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this time, for this opportunity to bring a simple lesson. I pray, God, that it would benefit all who hear. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to remember these truths and to practice and put these truths into practice, rather. And so, Father, we just ask that you would cleanse me, forgive me my sins. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, and I pray that your Spirit would speak to the hearts of the church now, the Sunday school. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, in the world, there are a lot of recognizable cults. Most of God's people recognize that certain groups are just cults. There's no other way around it. We're not being mean when we say that. Just because you recognize something is wrong doesn't make you a bad person, all right? Just because you recognize that murder is a sin doesn't mean that you are self-righteous, okay? It doesn't mean anything like that at all. Simply that you recognize that God says murder is sin. Okay? Now, it's not wrong, it's not mean, it's not cruel. It gets a little more into the weeds, so to speak, is when God's word is very plain that murderer should be put to death. Now, most of the world will recognize murder is wrong, right? I mean, almost everybody will recognize that. Even if they practice it, they still know it's wrong. Most people know it's wrong and not ready to admit it. But when you take a stand for God and say, well, according to God's word, murderers should be put to death, people start freaking out. Not all, but some. Many do. And it's that way with many doctrines, because people will give just lip service to the word of God, because they don't want to appear to be unkind. They don't want to appear to be anti-Christian. They don't want to. I don't know what it is they want to appear. But when you get into the details, then they begin to draw back. Lady at work, she rejects the Bible totally. Why? Because her sister is a lesbian. Okay, what does that have to do with God's word, other than God condemns all forms of homosexuality? Because God's word condemns a practice that she is intimately involved with, meaning her sister. She therefore rejects God's word. And we can't do that. We can't judge God's word by our preferences. We can't judge God's word by our beliefs. It's not our duty to sit in a big chair down here and God sends us memos and we stamp accepted or rejected. Okay, that's not our job. Okay, the word of God is God's word. It is true from cover to cover, always has been, always will be. And when we stand on the judgment day before Christ, and when the world stands on the judgment day before Christ, you know what God's going to judge them by? This book right here, okay? So what we're going to look at is that there are many false witnesses in the world. There are many people who deny Jesus, and there are a lot of false voices in the world. And let's go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. Oh, maybe the same page. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Now, here's the thing we got to remember. We are sinful just like the rest of the world is sinful. Okay? But we are different from the rest of the world in that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. If you are saved, born again, God indwells you. He lives, resides within you. There's a lot of familiar verses. We could look at dozens of them. But we'll just turn to a couple real quick. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and see what, and you know this, but it's okay to be reminded of it, okay? At verse number 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. We have been given the Holy Spirit, and among his sealing us until the day of redemption and other things that God does for us through his Spirit, one of the things that it is he's our teacher. He's the one who teaches us the Word of God. He's the one who reminds us what God says. And he's the one who interprets the Bible to us. Because when you read the Bible, there are some verses that, you know, okay, I don't get it. Okay, anybody out there? You're reading something and it just doesn't make any sense. I don't even know what they're talking about. I don't even know what God's talking about. And yet the Holy Spirit will enlighten us, and the Holy Spirit will begin to teach us his word so that we can begin to get an understanding of these verses, of the entire Word of God. And it's a process, but so don't worry if you're having trouble discerning the Word of God. Remember this, always remember this. If you are truly born again, the Holy Spirit does reside within you. He indwells you, and he will teach you the Word of God. But you know, we need to become familiar with it. That's might be part of the issue, is that we don't read it often enough. We don't pray over it when we do read it. Because the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit indwells us, and the Holy Spirit that indwells us and wrote the Scripture wants to teach us the Scriptures. But don't you think it'd be wise to ask him to do so before we open it up and read it? And so we should ask the Holy Spirit, specifically the Holy Spirit. Now, I am not denying Christ. Sometimes people think, oh, you talk to the Holy Spirit. Woo! No, the Holy Spirit is God. You do know that, right?
Yeah.
You know the Father's God? You mean you talk to the Father and not Jesus? Yeah. When you pray, how many of us starts our prayer out, Heavenly Father? Now, we might close it in Jesus' name, but, you know, okay. So why don't we just add in the mix the Holy Spirit? Heavenly Father, would you please, and again, I don't believe in written prayers or things like that, but just something similar. Holy, you know, Heavenly Father, would you please have your Holy Spirit teach me the Word of God in Jesus' name? Is there anything wrong with that, what I just said? No. We should rely on that Spirit within us to teach us the Word of God. I would not rely on the radio or the internet or the TV. Thank you, thank you. There's a lot of false witnesses, a lot of false voices in this world. But the Spirit, John 14:26, the book of John, that's where I'm going. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, now we know that's the Holy Spirit, right? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So there's no denying that the Comforter is the Holy Spirit, all right? He tells us. You ever notice how the Bible interprets itself if we just read it? If you read it, many times the Bible will interpret itself for you so that if there's words or phrase or verse you don't quite understand, just keep reading and the Spirit will explain it to you. When God sent the angel and a hand appeared on the wall, who knows what he wrote on the wall? Many, many, many tekel. Any, nobody's helping me out?
Yeah.
Ufarsan? Okay. What does that mean? You speak Persian? No. Because the Holy Spirit explained what those words meant. See, that's a case of the Holy Spirit directly interpreting the Word of God within the text. And if we will just read our Bible a little bit closer, we will find that God oftentimes, well, every time, if we'll read it, interprets the Scripture within the text. Now, I'm a little dull sometimes, and so I need extra help. And God explains it in the text, but when Jesus preached, he would give his parables, correct? And then he'd come aside. What would his disciples ask him? Yeah, what were you talking about out there? And then what would he do? He'd turn around and explain it to them. So he interpreted his own preaching to them. And the Holy Spirit would do the same thing with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will interpret the Scripture to you. So let's rely on him. Let's trust him. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Boy, there's a Trinity right there. So if you didn't like my prayer a little while ago, too bad. Because here it is, right here. We got the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus all in one verse. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit will teach us the Word of God. So let's rely on him. I'm afraid sometimes God's people don't rely on the Holy Spirit, because you've seen these goofballs on the television get up there and start speaking in tongues and start yammering and running around. They're found out. Who was the one that they found out? The guy was, he would call out people from the audience, and he was doing this kind of stuff and saying, oh, you've got your knee's hurting you and blah, blah, blah. And they found out he had a earbug in his ear, and his wife was in the back. She was reading the cards, the prayer cards of these people. And so she, James, I don't know, let's say Sutherland. Yeah. Oh, there's not a James Sutherland. I don't want to get sued, okay? And James, if you're out there, I'm sorry. I don't know who you are. I just picked that name at random. James Sutherland. Is there a James Sutherland? Yeah, there is a James Sutherland out here on my right, on the right side over here. And James, your left knee is hurting right now. It's in pain. Is it not? Is that true? And they go, I can't believe he knows that. Well, dummy, a half hour ago, you wrote down in a card, my left knee is hurting. And gave it to these guys. Now, you've all seen that kind of stuff. And therefore, somebody who has their head semi-screwed on right starts talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, what do you begin to think about? James Sutherland over here on the right. No, that's what we do many times, is we equate doctrine to people because they use catchwords. And there's nothing wrong saying Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong saying the Holy Ghost. Okay? Holy Ghost. God just called himself the Holy Ghost. So I can say the Holy Ghost and not be some loon out here in left field, doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yes, sir, Brother Neil.
But what you have to do is you have to be able to discern, am I using the phrase Holy Ghost in the biblical manner? Because on Monday morning, as you're going to work and you're listening to the radio, the guy that says Holy Ghost on the radio may not mean the same thing I mean. And this is why when you're dealing with the cults, you need to use the same dictionary, because the cults don't. Okay. Well, there's no way around it. Got to mention them. Okay, take the Mormons. Okay, I've witnessed a lot of Mormons in my lifetime. And most of them will say, well, we believe like you do. No, you don't. Okay, but that's, and they say, well, we believe in Jesus. Stop right there. Which Jesus? Huh? Yeah, which Jesus are you talking about? I'm talking about Jesus, creator of the world, who has always been, has never been created, who is God forever. And you're talking about a Jesus who was sexually begotten in the normal fashion. And if you really look at their doctrine, according to Brigham Young, Adam, from Genesis chapter 1 and 2, Adam, that who had sex with one of his multiple wives, and Jesus and Lucifer were two of his children. And that makes Jesus and Lucifer the same, brothers. Okay, is that anywhere near biblical? Okay. So you got to use the same dictionary, and you've got to learn to pay attention to what somebody says. Because somebody can say something and it sounds good at first, but when you actually analyze it, it's not. Have you ever done this? Ms. Dawson, Ms. Holmes, I know you guys have. You're in a receiving line and people come through and you're talking to them and they say something and you can tell by their response they weren't paying attention, because what they did was a normal thing. Oh, I'm fine, thank you. And what you said when they come up, your tie's not straight. Oh, I'm fine, thank you. They weren't paying attention. the story's told. I hate Joseph Stalin as far as a political. He was a terrible, terrible murderer, terrible. Millions of people he had executed. And he had some state dinner one time, and they had a lot of foreign dignitaries, a lot of Soviets were there, and he's going through the reception line. They were all shaking his hands. And here's what he was saying to everybody. I had my mother-in-law shot today, and they would say, oh, that's nice. And they'd go on. Oh, I'm having a good day. Thank you. You too. They're going through. And finally, he said that. I don't know how long he'd been saying that, 10 or 15 minutes, all the people coming through. I had my mother-in-law shot. I don't know if he did or not. He could have. But anyway, he said, I had my mother-in-law shot today. And I think it was a Swedish ambassador. Stop. Kind of paused for a second, looked in my eyes, and said, well, I'm sure she deserved it. Shook his hand and walked on. What are you going to say to a dictator like that, you know? But the idea was you could say something so ludicrous and the other people have no idea what you just said. And a lot of times you listen to people on the radio and they say some of the most ludicrous things and you have no idea what they just said. You have to pay attention and analyze what they're saying. Now, I'm not being mean when I say the Mormons are a cult. Does anybody want to stand up here and defend Satan and Jesus, our brothers? I didn't think so. Another doctrine of theirs. You're saved by grace. Oh, yeah, we believe you're saved by grace. No, what they believe is their doctrine is you're saved by grace after you do all that you can do.
There you go.
Now, there's a big difference between being saved by grace and being saved by grace after you do all that you can do. You don't believe me? Read Romans 11, chapter 6, which emphatically says there's no mixture of works and grace. You cannot add the two. The moment you add grace to works, then it's no longer works. The moment you add works to grace, it's no longer grace. You cannot add the two together. It's impossible. And by the way, if they really thought about what they just said, we're saved by grace after we do all that we can do. Has anybody ever done all that they could do?
No.
You know, you ever listen to these football players or basketball players? Oh, I gave 110%. No, you didn't. It's impossible. You can only give 100%. You can't go beyond that. And I know you didn't give 100% because you still got energy left.
Yes, sir.
If you gave 100% when that whistle blowed, you would have fell over exhausted.
Yeah.
You were done. You gave 100%. But you didn't give 100%, did you?
Okay. No.
So listen to what people say. And we judge them not on their personality,
right. But
on what they say. Now, you can look at the results of their doctrine and say, hey, you know, that's a screwed up doctrine. Okay, we can figure that out. That takes a little bit of time, though. It takes some time to observe and see the results. Now, all that, one of the things I want to say is that godly men and women can sometimes be wrong. We can sometimes make a mistake. There are some people who I'm sure are saved and they love the Lord, but they believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation, and at the end of the tribulation, then the church will be raptured away. Okay, there are some Christians who believe that halfway through or 3.5 years into the tribulation, the church will be raptured away. And then there's the rest of us who believe that we are raptured and then begins the tribulation, that we are not going through the tribulation, right? Now, of those three doctrines, only one can be right. Now, I happen to know which one's right, okay?
Yeah.
And so do you, most likely. But the fact of the matter is, they can still be saved and born again and just be in error, okay? And there are many, many doctrines in the Bible where somebody could be in error. But they will never deny that Jesus is God.
Amen.
Or else they are not of God. That's what our text said, did it not?
Yeah.
That if they deny that Jesus is not come in the flesh, they are an antichrist. Let's go back to 1 John. And so when somebody says this, then you know automatically that they are not of God. And you don't have to listen to anything else they have to say. No, they're not of God. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. We have a command from God. We are to test preachers.
Amen.
We are to test teachers. Try this. You are to test me. If you do not test me, you are not fulfilling your obligation as a Christian. Okay? Don't just say amen because everybody else says amen. Is what I said right? Okay? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone in the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. How are you going to know if somebody's of God? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming with the flesh is of God. This is why we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we place great emphasis upon that. You see, you are saved by believing in the death, burial, and what?
Resurrection.
If you don't believe in the resurrection, then you're not saved. I don't care what else you are, you're not saved. Okay? You must believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is a bodily resurrection. Meaning the same body that went into the grave was the same body that came out of the grave, okay? Now we know that body had different attributes afterwards. Okay? But actually, since Jesus was God, how did he get from one place to another in an instant anyway, even before the crucifixion? I mean, they were in the middle of the lake one moment, the next moment they were on the other end. So it was the same body that went in that came out. But many churches deny that. Now, so you have to believe in the bodily resurrection, but also you have to believe that Christ came in the flesh. He's already been here in the flesh. See, if you are looking for a future Messiah out there, then what you are saying is the Christ that we read about in the Bible hasn't come yet. You have denied that Jesus has come in the flesh. And he's coming. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So somebody, we all know that the Jews are still looking for their Messiah, correct? You know what they are saying? It's the Jesus that we read about in the Bible is not the Messiah. Messiah is the same word, that's the Hebrew word for the Greek word Christ, anointed. Somebody tried to trip me up one time out of Seoul and said, you know, Christ isn't Jesus' last name? Well, yeah, it's his title, Jesus the Christ, Jesus Christ, okay? Christ wasn't his last name, okay? I get that. It means Jesus the anointed of God. He was the promised Messiah, which means the anointed of God. And so for somebody to say that Christ has not come yet, Messiah has not come yet, they're saying Christ hasn't come in the flesh. So they are denying Jesus. Therefore, we know they can have a lot of good things in their life. They can have a lot of good things in their teaching. They can be the nicest of people, but they still are antichrist if they deny that Jesus did not come out of the grave bodily, or if they deny that he hasn't come yet at all. That's just what God says here in his word. It's not my word. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm simply trying to remind you that we have got to be careful because we are in a spiritual war. Now, the end's already determined. I have a quote. See if I can find it real quick here. I don't know this guy. I'll see if I can find it real quick. Some guy named Gunther, a Bible commentator. The battle has thus been decided, even if it is not yet over. The battle's been decided. You know, God and Satan are not dueling it out. You know, like Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton. What did they do? They have equal power. I don't know whatever caliber gun they had in that duel. They stood back to back. They had the same amount of firepower. They had a single shot flintlock pistol. I don't know the caliber, 48, 58. I have no idea. But they had a pistol. They marched it off. They turned around. They are equal in power. But Aaron Burr shot a little quicker and a little truer and killed Alexander Hamilton. It's not that way. Christ and Satan, God and the devil, are not equal power battling it out in the universe. With one word, God could banish Satan to hell for an eternity. Just one word. Now, Satan is mightier than you and I, and I've had Christians, they get cocky. And they think, oh, bring on Satan, man. I'll take him on. No, you're not going to take on Satan. He is wiser, more powerful than you. He has studied human nature for the last 6,000 years. He has a multitude number of demons, okay, and you are not going to take him on. Michael the archangel wouldn't even argue with Satan. And if he wouldn't do it, you better not do it. But don't fear him either, because greater is he that's in you, in me, than who is in the world. Greater is he that's in you than in the world. Christ, the Holy, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. They are greater than Satan. It's an uneven battle. We're just going through the motions. That it's already determined who the victor is going to be. And that's God in us. When we are raptured away, you know, when we come back riding white horses, okay, amen. So we got horse people in here, like horses. We'll get to ride horses in heaven. And when Christ comes back on that white horse leading his army, folks, we don't have anything to do. Well, for me, it's stay on the horse. That's the only thing I got to do. But I'm figuring in heaven I'll have a perfect body and the horse will behave and everything will be fine. I'm not worried about that now. If I get on the horse today, well, you know, it's a question. The only question is, am I going to fall on the left side or the right side, you know? I've never went over the back end. I hope I never do. But Christ destroys Antichrist with the sword of his tongue. He does it all with a word. The battle's over as far as the outcome. The war's over as far as the outcome. We still have skirmishes and battles to fight. And this is where we get tripped up in that we are trying to battle Satan in our own power. If you are not relying upon the Holy Spirit, and again, I am not taking anything away from Jesus. In all things, Jesus, they have the preeminence. We preach Jesus Christ. Yes, he is the only way to be saved, by trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone. And we are not detracting from Jesus. See, there's no envy in the Trinity. If we admire Jesus, the Father doesn't start pouting. Well, why don't they love me? And if we pray, asking the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God, Jesus doesn't say, well, why don't they ask me? I'm the living Word. There's no envy between the Trinity. But we must avail ourselves. We must rely upon God, or else we're going to be defeated in day-to-day, in our day-to-day life. The outcome's the same. I'm going to be in heaven one day, no matter what. You stand up and shoot me right now, I'm going to heaven. I could live for another 30 years. Oh, my Lord, I hope not. I could live for another 30 years, and guess what? I'll still go to heaven. Thank you. I'll still go to heaven. But along the way, most of us have flown commercial airplanes before. Have you ever had a bumpy ride? Man, I got one ride. Anytime I think about it, my left ear hurts again. We flew into Chicago one time, and there were thunderstorms everywhere.
Whoa.
And we were bouncing all over the place. And I mean, I was almost ready to, you know, join you in using the brown paper bag. My ear hurt so bad. It hurt for 3 days after that. I looked out the left side, Brother Paul, and it was nothing but black. Wait a minute. Chicago, land. We're over Lake Michigan. And we were bouncing all over the place like this, you know. And we'd come around. Oh, good, we're coming down. And we started down. You remember that? We started down. Then all of a sudden I hear the engine. And we go back up. I hated that ride.
Yes, sir.
I liked the ride I had one time. We landed. And I didn't even know we touched the ground. That guy was so good. That pilot was so good. We came down, landed. And we're on the runway. And then I hear the brake. What? We're down. I didn't even know it. It was such a smooth ride. Now of the two, which would you rather have, the bumpy ride or the smooth one?
I'll take a smooth ride.
Amen. And you ain't getting me on no big ship because I might not get a smooth ride. But I like smooth rides. And as we get through this life, as we go through this life, even though our destination, you know, I still got to Chicago.
Yeah.
The other ride, I still got to Phoenix. So I got to my destination. One ride was smooth, one ride wasn't. You're going to be in heaven if you're saved. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you this. I hate to break to you. It is true. Once saved, always saved. And don't be afraid of that saying, just because some people make fun of it. You know, you're saved forever or you're not saved at all. So the destination is there. Now, how do you want to get there? Smooth ride or bumpy ride? You have nothing to do with the circumstances of life that come upon you. But you have everything to do with how you react to them. And sometimes we bring problems upon ourselves. You'd be surprised how many people end up in jail one night when all they had to do is shut up. Instead, they get mouthy with a police officer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, was that a smooth ride or a bumpy ride? That was definitely a bumpy ride. You ever see anybody get mad at their boss?
Oh, boy.
And either get fired. I've seen people get fired on the spot. Because, I mean, they were just being disruptive. Everybody was stopping what they were doing because they were getting so loud over there. Got fired. I've seen other people get suspended.
Whoa.
Seen people quit. I got to find a better class of people to hang around with, come think about it. But I've had a lot of jobs over my lifetime and worked in some large companies. And I also had assistant pastors, so I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we bring problems upon ourselves. And one of the surest way to do that is when you are confronted with a difficulty, try handling it in your own power. Hey, I'm wise. I got this figured out. I can do this. I don't need God's help. You would never say that. Well, you might say, I'm wise. I got this. But you wouldn't say, I wouldn't do this without God's help, would you? And yet, the end result is you attempt to solve your problems without God's help. How's that working out? Is that a smooth ride or is that one of these rides? I'm just trying to remind you of something you already know. You already have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have that Holy Spirit who wants to teach you the Word of God. So why not use Him? You know? Why not use Him? Have you ever called the help, or you ever sent an email to the help desk from work? A couple of them, uh-huh. Did they write you back a nasty letter? Don't you write me any more emails. I don't want to help you. You should figure this out for yourself. Now, I've had them more or less and say snide things about, dummy, try plugging it in or something like that, you know. Or dummy, make sure it's turned on or something like that. But I've never had them say, don't call, don't ask me. Because they are there to what? Help. And guess what? God's not going to get upset if you pray to Him. Brother Hall again. This is the fourth time today. Give me a break, will you? No, He's not going to do that. And neither will the Holy Spirit when you open your Bible and you ask Him to speak to your heart from His Word. So we've got to remind ourselves to do some of these things from time to time. Okay. So much for the introduction. Anybody have the time? Does anybody have the time? 20 after, so I have how much time? 10 minutes? 10 minutes, okay. Okay. John told in 1 John, he wrote, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, okay? Now, the them is designating that there are two kinds of people in this world. There is a distinction. Now, there are two spirits in this world. There's Christ, there's Antichrist. Okay. Well, there are two kinds of people in this world. He that hath the Son hath God. He that hath not the Son hath not God. Okay. So there's two. There's only two. There's not a third, I am becoming one or the other. No, you are or you aren't. You're in God's family or you're not in God's family. You are of God or you are of the devil. There's no in between. You are in one or the other. Praise the Lord. July the 9th, 1972, approximately 10:30 in the morning, I was transferred out of the family of Satan into the family of God, and I'm remaining in the family of God for eternity. There's nothing I can do about it. Okay? Now I can make my ride to heaven bumpy, or I can help smooth it out a little bit, but I'm in God's family. And so He is showing us, look, folks, there are two distinct spirits. And you have to figure out who is energizing this person who is speaking to you. And how can I do that? Well, I can look at what he says and compare it to the Word of God with God's help. Compare it to the Word of God and determine if that is the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of Antichrist. If they deny Jesus has come in the flesh, in the bodily resurrection, automatically, I know right now they are of Antichrist. If they say Messiah has not yet come, I know they are of Antichrist. Or if they say I am Messiah, they are Antichrist. You say, well, nobody would say that. Well, just ask the Dalai Lama. Who does he think he is? He's God. Didn't you know that? Well, I don't know if I would worship a God that can't even keep his own country free from communists overrunning him. You know, the Dalai Lama can't go home because the communists won't let him. They kicked him out of his country. Some God, huh? But there are people who claim to be God. Well, I know right now I don't have to listen to anything else they say. So we compare what they say, what they teach, to what the Bible says. In order to do that, guess what? You've got to know your Bible. And if you don't know your Bible well, that's fine. Just start from where you are right now, this moment. Some of you may not be able to find the book of Hezekiah. Yeah. You heard that, didn't you? Because there's no such book as the book of Hezekiah. You know, when I was out soul winning one time, somebody asked me a question, and I knew the answer. I couldn't find the Bible verse because it was in the book of Hebrews, and I only had my New Testament.
Oh, man. Yikes.
Yeah, I was pretty new to going out soul winning, all right? Obviously. When I figured that out, I couldn't wait till somebody asked me that question again. Rather than worry about what we know or don't know, let's just start where we are, asking the Holy Spirit to begin to teach us His Word and to go there. And I would be leery of any new speaker automatically until you have been able to vet them, until you have been able to discern which spirit they are of. Because a lot of people look good. I mean, admit it. Don't I look good? You don't have to lie. Don't say anything, please. A lot of people look good. A lot of people speak well and they're very eloquent. But what are they actually saying? True. Don't have to be. Paul wasn't elegant. Who was the guy that was? No. New Testament. Apollos. A very elegant speaker. Okay? Had he wanted, he could have been a politician. He was a smooth speaker, you know. Except he was honest, so he couldn't be a politician. Very, very eloquent in his speech. Paul, very crude in his speech. But see, crudeness, the delivery is not the important issue. Is what is being delivered is the important issue.
Amen.
The 5 minutes. The important issue is what they say lining up with the Word of God. If you don't know, get some help. Ask Pastor. We have vetted him, okay? We know that he's going to speak the truth. Okay? Will he be wrong in some minor area? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong and I just don't know it in that minor area, okay? But I'm not worried about getting counsel from pastor. Because I know him, I know what he preaches, I know what he believes. You can be wrong, no, pastor's not. You can be wrong about the tithe. There are some people who think, I can take my tithe and divvy it up and send it to this group and this organization and this organization, and then there are those who have it correct, and I give my tithe to the church, and then if I want to help some group over here, that is extra. And they can still be saved and good Christians. It's just the wrong in one area. So be careful who you follow, who you listen to. Judge what they say, not how they say it. Not by the good deeds that they do. A lot of people think Mormons are really good people. Well, they haven't really studied them that close. They just come across that way. just in case you think I'm being mean, the state of Utah always is in the top 10, usually in the top 5, and many times the number one state in the union for teenage suicide. Anybody know the demographics of Utah? 75% Mormon. You trying to tell me the other 25% can raise it to where they can be the number one state for suicides? When you're only drawing from 25% of the population? Take teenage pregnancies. Guess where Utah ranks? Divorce, that'll shock a lot of people. Guess where that ranks, where Utah ranks? But don't tell me they're nice people. I've had business dealings with them. And they are nice people till you cross them. But again, it's not whether they are nice or not nice. That has nothing to do with it. You could be the nicest person in the world and be right in your doctrine. Or you can be one of the worst people in the world and be right in your doctrine. I was talking about personality and delivery and stuff. Okay. Or you can just be the nicest person in the world and be wrong in your doctrine. What is the determination? If you're nice or not nice? No, the determination is, what do you say? What is the doctrine? So look at the doctrine and not the person. Look at the doctrine and not the deeds. That's so important. Never overlook doctrine for deeds. And just because your grandmother was a member of the Church of Christ doesn't mean you have the right to get mad at the pastor or me or anybody that says, if you trust your baptism to wash away sins, you are lost. Because the Church of Christ teaches what? You have to be baptized to have your sins washed away. And Jesus taught what? Saved by grace through faith. Without any deeds of the law. When Jesus was baptized, John didn't want to baptize him first, did he? But what did Jesus say? Suffers us to fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill is an action verb. Fulfill, do something. Suffer him. He had to fulfill all righteousness. Christ fulfilled all righteousness. I don't even come close. And I'm not even relying on my righteousness. I'm relying on his righteousness. Okay, now the Duffy's always ask me, what's the Bible verse? What's the Bible verse? And I struggled with the memory verse. I struggled with this. So I made it simple. 1 John. The whole book. 1 John. Okay, are you satisfied? 1 John. Now, I can't even satisfy when I give them the verse. And I just put away the in John. Where'd it go to? Oh, here it is. John 14:26. We're not even in 1 John. John, regular John.
Okay. Well, you kept saying 1 John.
I know, I just... See what I mean? They hassle. She hassled me anyways. John 14. There can't be a 1 John 14. If your Bible has a 1 John 14, you I bet you have Hezekiah in your Bible too, don't you?
No, I just did that because you can't say
1 John. Okay. John 14:26. Usually I close in prayer, but Brother Hall, since I picked on you a little bit, and I know God's not going to get angry if you pray again. So would you ask God to bless this teaching if he could, and also the meal?
Amen.